You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to chat with our friends from Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ today, learn more about the organization, what they do, and how you can be equipped to be a bold and faithful witness as well. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Martin Hertzberg, Executive Director for Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. Pastor Hertzberg, welcome.
Thank you.
And also joining us today, Jim Meyer, Board Member for Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. Jim, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thanks for inviting us.
Well, I'm looking forward to learning more about OAFC. It's been a while since we've chatted about Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. And so maybe now would be a good time to learn a little bit more about the history of OAFC. Pastor, you want to take that one for us?
Absolutely. Well, Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ started in 1970 with a group of college kids that wanted to learn to share their faith. And Pastor Fred Darko went out and did research and put together some different witnessing methods to be able to do that. OAFC is all about getting out and sharing your faith. We have six different ways we do it. We do the canvassing, going door to door, which is what everybody knows us for. We do puppet plays, dramas, sing, Bible study as a witnessing method, and then what's called a personal witness. And that has been going since 1970, and it became an RSO in the 80s, if I remember correctly, and has been going ever since. We're the best kept secret in the Synod, so part of the reason I'm here is to say we exist. And if you're wanting to learn to share your faith, we're pretty practical about it.
No longer a best-kept secret, I hear.
Hoping not.
Now, you mentioned a few ways that OAFC is teaching people to witness and giving equipping people to do that. What is the work of OAFC today? Tell us more about those different witnessing methods and different ways that people are equipped to witness.
Okay, so the first thing is our purpose hasn't changed. It's best understood in the acronym WIT, W-I-T, Witness, Invite, Train. We witness to everybody about Jesus, and we have the six different ways of doing that, and I will get to those after I've completed the WIT spiel. We invite people to the local congregation that we're serving, and train. We train you to do it. This works as it's all volunteer with the exception of the executive director. I have to have him full-time to promote like I'm doing. But we have youth going to different churches with an adult director, and we will go to the church. We get there Friday evening, do a little get to know you. Then Saturday morning, we start the training right away, and we're teaching you how to do the witness survey. You'll go out with somebody who has done it before. We'll knock on doors. We'll talk about Jesus with people. We'll come back, debrief, and eat lunch, then go out again, debrief, then go to a nursing home and present Jesus there. And we'll be involved on Sunday morning as much as the pastor wants us to be. Now, the six different witnessing methods, door to door, I just kind of described what it is. You ask their name. Did they go to church growing up? Do they go to church now? If so, where? If not, okay, we're out here to invite you. And are there any children? This ends up being practical information for a church to have, because if there's a bunch of kids in this area, maybe you want to plaster that area with your VBS stuff. And at the end of the survey, we ask, where do you believe you'll go when you die? And that can be jarring, but it also, I've always had a good response to it. There are some people that don't want to talk, but overwhelmingly they will. And then you ask, why do you believe that you'll go to heaven? Because that's the most common answer. And we listen to what they say, and then we'll ask if we can share why we believe we'll go to heaven. And this is really just the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I'm a sinful person, just like anyone else, and God requires perfection. One sin's enough to separate us from God forever. And I'm using us here, so I'm not picking on this person. And that's why I'm glad to know he sent his only begotten son to live the perfect life I can't live, suffer and die on the cross to pay for my sins, and rise again in victory to confirm that that sacrifice has paid my way into heaven. And that's why I know I'm going to heaven. What do you think about what Jesus has done for you? So That is what the canvassing looks like. And you'll go out with somebody that knows what they're doing. They've been doing it for a while. You know, generally speaking, after 2 weekends, you're pretty well equipped to be able to do it. And I had actually a weekend event in Wisconsin where I was the only experienced one there. We went out in the morning and the pastor was the other team. By the end of the morning canvas, the lay people were doing it on their own. And, you know, they weren't following the survey exactly to the letter, but they were getting it done. And by the end of the afternoon, when we're tabulating our results, they asked if, hey, would we be stepping on your toes if we went out and did this on our own every month? That's what we want to have happen. So, you know, that's just the practicality of it in practice. Now, the other thing, singing, dramas, puppets, why would we do that? Well, it puts the words in your mouth. You remember a song, and then you remember a puppet play, you remember a drama, and then when those kind of situations pop up, we have a play called Bus Stop. We've done it at a bus stop, and it was fun. And then we, you know, so those put the words of the faith into your mouth, and yet you remember them. Bible study is exactly what it sounds like. You invite people over to Bible study, and then we have a format that we go through, and it digs into the text. And as a pastor, even, you know, I started when I was 14 doing this. And, you know, you asked what drew me to OAFC? Well, I was trying to impress the pastor's daughter, if I'm being completely honest. But, you know, I got to share my faith and I got hooked on doing it. And this method of Bible study that I learned as a teenager is what I use as a pastor to prepare my sermons. And, you know, by the time I had finished seminary, I had 20 years of experience doing this. So, I mean, that's one benefit. Then the personal witness, I'm just going to do one rather than describe what one is. I'm actually going to do two of them here. The first one is my oldest daughter was 2 years old. And the fourth year of seminary, Palm Sunday, downtown Fort Wayne. You know, very high church building that was designed before electronic amplification. So amazing acoustics. It's during the confession of sins. She's standing in the pew, you know, like 2-year-olds do with their hands on the seat and they're working on the balance stuff. And well, she flings her head back and thunk on the pew in front of us. And well, she's not real happy about that. So my wife sits down, she's taking care of the baby as, you know, as the pastor, as we finish the confession of sins, and the pastor is saying, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy. All better. Echoed through the sanctuary. And everybody's looking at us. And I'm like, well, she's not wrong. How much more all better can you be? Then sins forgiven. And you know, I like to pair it up with scripture, and what better scripture than create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And, you know, that thought has done a lot to save. You know, I say it literally saved my life, and that's a story for another time, but the second one is, I got to tell you about Blue. One of the first things we teach you in OAFC is John 3:16 with the person's name in it, for God so loved. And you go from there. And now Blue was one of the original Hell's Angels. He looked exactly like you would expect. Big dude, big beard, hair down to his butt, tattooed from head to toe. The knuckles on both hands are just scar tissue. He was one of their enforcers. And he'd come in and avail himself of the food pantry, and then he'd come in and have coffee with me in my office. His first parish right out of seminary, and I'm talking with him. After about 3 years, he, you know, came in and he was telling me, Pastor, I've got ghosts in my house, and they're actually breaking things. They're waking us up in the middle of the night. There's the loud screams and things getting broken, and can you help me? Well, yeah, the seminary does train you to do this, so formal seminary training is a good thing. And I go over to his house and we do the house blessing. And then at the end of it, he says, Pastor, you're just delaying the inevitable. rolls up his sleeves, points to his Hell's Angel tattoos. Hell's Angel, Pastor, God can't love me. And reflexively, I go, for God so loved Blue that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die and rise in victory for Blue, that believing in Jesus as a savior from sin, Blue shall not perish, but Blue shall have everlasting life. And that's God's promise to you, Blue. And there's a 70-year-old man in his living room crying his eyes out because he finally understands for me. And well, what happens to keep these things from coming back after me? I said, you know, Blue, when you get baptized, God's giving you his colors, his patch, using his experience as a Hell's Angel, and he's claiming you. And those things have no claim on you anymore. Well, he wasn't ready that day, but he came, this is July of 2019. November of 2019, he pulls in my driveway and he says, Pastor, I want to be baptized. And you bet, right then and there in the driveway, ran into my kitchen, grab a bowl of water, and we're out and baptizing Blue because the lifetime of drugs and violence had caught up. His legs didn't really work anymore. No obstacle to God. And then I did get a phone call in October of 22 that Blue lives in heaven now. So that is what a personal witness is. It's just telling a story. I had nothing memorized, nothing prepared ahead of time. It can be something from this is my favorite Bible verse and this is why. Or I've seen God working in whatever way. So that's what a personal witness is. And our Bible study coupled with personal witness is what I'm really promoting right now, because everybody's intimidated by the canvassing thing. Well, we can absolutely teach you something that you can go out and use 5 minutes from now. So that's what I'm really promoting as far as our witnessing methods are concerned.
We're learning about ongoing ambassadors for Christ with Pastor Herzberg and Jim Meyer today. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're learning about ongoing ambassadors for Christ with Executive Director Pastor Martin Herzberg and Jim Meyer, who's a board member for Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. Now, Pastor Herzberg shared some very insightful and moving stories about his involvement with OAFC. Jim, how about you? How did you get involved with Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ?
Sunday school superintendent and a youth leader. I'd talked about ambassadors for some time, didn't know anything about it, made some calls, and finally in 2008, we invited OAFC to come to our church in Manor Rosebud. And I had never done door-to-door canvassing, so I was paired with a 15-year-old girl who had done a lot of it. And she led me from our house, our members to members in Rosebud and shared their faith. And I think I might have led one call that day. But that started a real interest about we could do something here at home on a regular basis. So in 2011, I thought, well, let's try, we call it our Witness Wednesdays. So we would have a group of kids, and that first summer there were 8 young people that we met every Wednesday at 9 a.m. study. We would sing and pray, and then we'd be on the street somewhere by 10:30, and quite often it was a nursing home. We've never been uninvited at the nursing home. People just love for us to come, and the young people, you know, and we sing and sometimes do a puppet or a drama show, Or during COVID, we would make front porch visits. So we didn't miss a Wednesday through COVID. We were at someone's home, front porch. Sometimes we went to a nursing home, went to the back of them, through their windows. They would open the window. We would sing and pray with them. And we continued that till now. So this summer we had, at one point, one Wednesday, we had 40 participants, usually about 5 to 6 adults. And then someone fixes lunch at noon. After lunch, we go to the local swimming pool. And at 3 o'clock, we close with prayer and water. So it's been faithfully supported since 2011. And for me, and I have 6 grandkids, and that's my joy. The 3 older ones now, they started at 3. So they are they're just excited to share the good news.
That's fantastic, especially getting the young kids involved. I mean, everybody loves watermelon, so that's definitely a perk.
It's a home run.
Yes, absolutely. What have you learned from your time with OIFC? It sounds like it's really made a difference for you and being able to witness your faith to other people. What are some of the things that you've learned during your time with OIFC?
Bible verses that really have importance. I did get to spend some time with Fred Darko that started the event. And he was so adamant about music, about singing. But in our songbook, it talks about he would always have the kids introduce our songs. So they are always Christ-centered songs that don't just talk about the gospel, but we share it through those songs. And that was something we still do. We have kids, when we sing, to introduce the songs that way. Those Bible verses, the good news, it's always involved there. And the kids, that becomes part of them. And so, like I said, my kids, grandkids started at 3. They are a little older now, but still faithfully coming, still talking about Jesus. And we're blessed to have a small Lutheran school in our town with our church at Emmanuel, which is growing. We're doing an addition now, 84 this year, with a waiting list of 40. So God is at work. And to be part of that, that's the good news, that for me personally, it's just exciting.
Yeah. Pastor Hertzberg, what have you learned through your time with Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ?
Too many lessons to it. I always was active in sharing my faith. It just gave me focus on here are some ways to do it. And it had me studying the Bible very, very thoroughly. And just not to be afraid to talk to anybody. It gave me a broader idea of what the different beliefs are. So I'm not caught flat-footed with it as a pastor when I run into something. And, you know, I would definitely say being familiar with the Bible did save my life. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of details, but my wife had decided she didn't want to be married anymore, and I was in a very bad spot. And, you know, being trained to notice when God's talking, and actually I was to the point of absolute despair, and I even was ready for a hunting accident on purpose. And, you know, listening for that still small voice. And I was scrolling through my phone, and the scene from the last episode, or from the first episode of Chosen at the very end, popped up on my phone. And that's where God is calling Mary Magdalene by name and coming to her. And, you know, this wounded and dying sheep was able to hear his master's voice because I've been trained to listen to it and listen for it. So it's dramatic. And I know that's kind of a little taboo pastor is talking about, that fact that things aren't all hunky-dory for us all the time either. But I think it's important people know that, you know, pastors break. And, you know, to have that confidence to come to God's word, run to God. Luther had the oratio, meditatio, tentatio. Well, the tentatio drives you. The living, the trials, the suffering drive you to prayer. And OAFC taught me how to pray confidently, to just come to God. And even if I don't know what to say, God does. And then that drives me into his word. And then I can go back out and get beat up again and come back to God. And it's not that I've ever left him or he ever left me, but it's the return to the Lord constantly. That's what OEFC has taught me.
It sounds like both of you have had really a personal impact from being involved with Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. What are some of the ways that congregations can get involved, participate in events, and hold things for people to also learn these skills that you've been talking about?
Well, we operate on a couple of different structures. There's two of them that are in kind of the experimental stage, and then the one we've been doing for 50 years. The weekend model, we would show up on Friday night, and all the church would need to do is go to our website. My contact information is on there, and we would schedule a weekend. That's what we just did in New Minden. That's what we did in Wisconsin at the beginning of the month. There was interest. I got on the phone with the pastor of that church, and we scheduled a weekend. And what I'll do is it depends on where you are. You know, if you're in a place where we don't have a team, I will come personally and I will help get one started. And we will have youth and adults from kind of probably the local state area come, and we will start Friday night around 6 o'clock, get to know each other, and then we'll do the weekend where the training is happening. Now, the two other models, we have the ABCs of OEFC, because sometimes committing to an entire weekend is a little difficult to get anybody to do. So this is designed to come one Saturday a month for 3 months. The first Saturday, we're going to talk about the acts, the puppet plays and dramas. We're going to teach you how to do that and then go out and do it. Then the second time, we'll come and do the B. So that's the Bible study and personal witness. We'll train you in that. And then we'll have the kids, we'll have everybody involved actually write a personal witness and have them take turns practicing leading the Bible study. Then the C is the canvassing. We devote the entire Saturday to training that. And the singing is done all throughout. Then the third model is very early in its infancy in terms of being developed, but a lock-in model, because there's people that have a problem with having their kids stay at a stranger's house out of town. And I totally understand that. And I was brainstorming with a friend of mine that I've known since high school. And we're both, what if we just did a lock-in? And, you know, you have breakout sessions where the kids go and they learn about the witnessing method that they're most interested in doing. Maybe learn two of them. So it's a typical lock-in, but some deliberate training involved. And that's another way to do it. So if anybody is interested in that, my contact information is right there at oafc.org, right under the executive director stuff. So I will work with you to do things how you need them done. We're a pretty flexible organization, and we will want to make it so it works for you.
Well, Jim, as you shared, OAFC has become has established a new culture, a new habit at your congregation at Emmanuel in Rosebud, Missouri. How do you see, looking forward, do you see that continuing to be an important part of your congregation, Witness Wednesdays or other opportunities for witness and outreach in the community?
Absolutely. We are in a call process right now, and we're going through some profile stuff. But they shared with me, one of the ladies in our church wrote a lengthy thing about one reason she really loves being there, because she's able to participate with her children every Wednesday.
Outstanding.
I could give you an example of what it's like. Can I share some good news with you, Sandy?
Sure.
Sarah and Andy? For God so loved Sarah and Andy, he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, die, and rise in victory with Sarah and Andy, so that, believing in Jesus as a savior from sin, Sarah and Andy shall not perish, but you shall have everlasting. It's God's personal promise to you. He cannot lie.
OAFC.org. You can find more information to schedule an event for your congregation there as well, and practice alongside those who have been doing door-to-door witnessing and other ways of sharing the good news of Jesus with their neighbors. Thank you so much to our guest today, Pastor Herzberg. Thank you for spending this time with us.
Thank you for having us.
Jim Meyer, thank you so much for joining us on the Coffee Hour.
It's a joy. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Ogleseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.